You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Greenpeace Aotearoa has renewed calls for the government to advocate for a strong, legally binding global plastics treaty as world governments meet at the first Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee meeting in Uruguay this month. A petition for a plastics treaty that centres justice launched earlier this year by Greenpeace Aotearoa ahead of the UN's Environment Assembly 5.2 and has already gathered over 29,000 signatures. I spoke to Greenpeace's plastics campaigner, Jerissa Lee, on this matter.
Yeah, so we're renewing the call just to bring a bit more attention back to the issue as world governments are about to enter into negotiations, the first round of negotiations for the Global Plastics Treaty. So we want to keep calling on the government to be courageous in their role, in their part, in those negotiations.
Now this month, the Ministry for the Environment and Stats NZ released its report, Our Marine Environment 2022, which highlighted the devastating impacts of plastic and microplastics. Was this very influential in this renewed call?
It reinforces our will to be, to really put that pressure on our government. They understand, in that report it said 3 in every 4 fish had microplastics, and we already had examples like whales in the Hauraki Gulf eating millions of pieces of microplastics a day. So we know that this is a huge problem. And, as New Zealanders, none of us enjoy seeing plastic waste in our beaches. We love spending time in the outdoors and in the water and the moana. I know that it's a big issue for New Zealanders, and so we want the government to not just support a global plastics treaty, but advocate for the strongest treaty possible. And when I say the strongest treaty, I mean one that looks to limit production and consumption, really cut production, looks at solutions based on the waste hierarchy, so looking upstream at things like reuse and refill, meaningful participation from Indigenous peoples and people who are on the front line to this crisis, and having wealthier countries and polluters pay for the full environmental and social costs of plastic, including upstream plastic pollution issues that they disproportionately created.
Now, how does this differ from plastics treaties we've had in the past? I'm reading here that earlier this year there was a session at the United Nations Environment Assembly where countries across the world did agree to work towards a new global agreement on combating marine plastic litter and plastic pollution. How does this stronger treaty, or how would a stronger treaty, really differ from the ones we've had in the past?
Well, we've never had a global plastics treaty, and that's how it will differ. The plastic supply chain is a global one. There are many parts in the plastics lifespan, I guess we can call it, that happened before it even arrives here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And we don't have a lot of space to influence that with our domestic plastic pollution plans, or action. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for world governments to come together and have a coordinated global plan to cut plastic, to cut and limit plastic production and consumption in order to put an end to this plastic crisis that we're in now.
Are there any areas within a stronger plastic treaty that really need a bit of focus on?
Yeah, I think that it's really important that we make sure that the focus is upstream at the top of that waste hierarchy, because if we don't address limit production and consumption of plastic, we will never address the plastic crisis that we're in. We'll be essentially drafting up an ambulance at the bottom of a cliff. All right, so that is core, and we should immediately put an end to the most unnecessary and harmful single-use plastics. That is the very first thing we should do, and an immediate cap on virgin plastic production.
So that would be a good start for the government, single-use plastics. Moving on from that, is there any other areas of plastic production which you'd like to see seriously addressed?
Well, I think above that, what I want to see is meaningful engagement with and participation from frontline communities. So when I say frontline communities, I mean Indigenous people. So here domestically, I mean our government seeking and using mātauranga Māori, you know, to help them to lead their position at the negotiating table, considering the interests and needs of Pacifica people. And then globally, we have groups like Waste Pickers, informal Waste Pickers, other coastal communities around the world, and then of course workers who work in the plastic production and need a just transition out of that, out of plastics, that sector, the industry. If we don't include their lived experiences and their knowledge and expertise, then we're not going to have the most informed treaty.
Would you say that it's crucial that our Indigenous and coastal communities in the Pacific, and especially here in Aotearoa, really have a say or have a voice within a stronger plastics treaty?
100%. Indigenous people, Māori, Pacifica, coastline, coastal communities, should be leading these conversations. Their voices should be centred at that negotiating table because, one, they are on the front line, two, they're bearing the brunt of our plastic pollution problem, two, they're bearing the brunt of the climate crisis that the plastic pollution problem exacerbates, and three, they're contributing to that both of those problems the very least. So that means they're already living a life that is less impactful on our environment. So who better to listen to than people who are living more purposefully and more gently with our environment and our climate, and two, who are understanding the worst parts and experiencing the worst parts of those crises.
That was Greenpeace's plastics campaigner, Jerissa Lee, speaking about their renewed calls for a stronger global plastics treaty.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.